Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe taking you through another week of the movies. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. And our website is thatmovieshow.net, where you can find the audio podcast, and you should be subscribing to it. If you're listening to this, thank you. If you're watching this, subscribe to the audio podcast, because you also get our radio show every Saturday morning that we do kind of current events and news about movies. Eddie, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a great day for movies.
It's a great day for the movie we are covering today.
Oh, yeah. That's the intro to the radio show. That's right.
I mean, every day is a great day for movies, especially when you get to talk movies as we do. But today is a really fun day for especially me. So we're covering Snatch. Guy Ritchie's 2000 crime comedy. For those of you playing at home, you can watch it for free on Crackle and on IMDb TV. That's a thing.
And CBS All Access.
There you go. That as well. I don't subscribe.
Yeah. I don't know. I went on Amazon. I went on Amazon, and it's one of those things that I have like an extension to on Amazon.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that. I have Prime as well.
You know, because I have Prime, and then because, you know, you have Prime, but then you can also subscribe to like HBO and Showtime and CBS and all that other stuff. So did you
accidentally subscribe?
I don't know.
I'm not going to judge you, because I'm sure you remember the night we were at Idle Hour in Quincy and I accidentally bought the first season of The Shield.
That's right. That was really funny.
Even though I already owned it.
That's not as bad as the time that a friend pocket ordered a pizza to his work while I was at a wedding.
That's just hilarious.
Yeah. So
that's some good pocket moving right there.
Yeah, right. Got a lot of movement.
So Snatch came out. Let me see. It was released in the United States on January 19th. 2001, actually, so it's just over 19 years here. It was released in the UK in August of 2000. It had a budget of $10 million, came back with 83.6, and developed a huge cult following once it hit DVD and television. Yep. It is written and directed by Guy Ritchie. It stars Benicio Del Toro, Dennis Farina, Jason Fleming, Stephen Graham, Vinnie Jones, Brad Pitt, Jason Statham, a cast of characters. Lenny Jones is in it. So many great characters. And it's one of those things. I look at it as like Guy Ritchie, even though, because it was popular at the time to call everyone this version of Quentin Tarantino. He was the English Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
I look at him more, especially with Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which is his directorial debut, more in line with the English Robert Rodriguez, because of what El Mariachi and Desperado were.
Yeah, I would definitely agree more with that. This is far more frenetic than a Tarantino movie is.
I think it was just, it's a cool crime movie. And if you did a cool crime movie, you were the blank Tarantino.
Yeah, right.
Or your movie was this version's Pulp Fiction. Like, even on Desperado, it was the Mexican Pulp Fiction. I'm like, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't. It's not even close. But
the one that really tried, I think, was Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Okay.
Andy Garcia. That really tried, and it was a Miramax movie too. So I think they were like, "We need to ride this Pulp Fiction train. Everybody else is cashing in on the name. We need to cash in on the name."
Yeah, because it's ours. Exactly. The Guy Ritchie kind of staples are here, which is really fun. The thing that I like to think about Snatch, and it was a good reminder of, this is what like a well done version of one of those like Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve movies are, where there's like a billion people in it.
Yeah.
And there's a million storylines.
Yeah.
This really felt like, oh, there is so much going on. Mm-hmm. And there's so many moving parts, and it comes together so nicely.
And somehow you don't lose track.
Right.
Like, I understand I've seen this movie like 47 times, which I actually picked up something new for the first time rewatching it this time. But it's one of those things, even the first time watching, it's like, even though there's like a bunch of different plots and everyone's character's name are just absurd.
Yeah.
And mix in the English accent and the Cockney slang and then whatever Brad Pitt is doing. And it's like, how is this not the most confusing movie ever? Because it's not.
No, it's not. It's very simple to follow. I think because at the end of the day, there's two plots going on and they're both very simple.
Yeah.
Get me this diamond and I'm fixing this fight.
Yeah.
Those are the
pretty much.
Those are the two. That's it. Those are the two plots of this movie. And then there's a billion characters and things going on around it, but it's at its core, that's what it is.
And it's very, and I, what I love personally is it's so British.
Yeah.
It is so English. I am a huge, huge fan of English movies and television shows. I'm one of those people that every time someone goes onto Facebook or whatever and says, give me something I've never seen to binge watch, I'm immediately throwing out stuff like Peep Show, Toast of London, Inbetweeners, White Gold, all of these English comedies that it's like, you definitely haven't watched it. You've never watched Saxondale. You've never seen the 47 different versions of Alan Partridge. You're going to, and you're going to laugh if you, if you get British comedy. And of course you go back to, you know, the Elvis of British comedies, the Kings, of course, Monty Python. And it's just, it's that really dry, but smart humor.
Right.
And I know that sounds a little pretentious, but I'm not. I'm saying I'm a smart person. I get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right. It's very accessible, but it is. It's not fart fall down humor. It's it's makes you think a little bit more, and that makes it easy. It makes it better when you're watching it.
I guess for us Americans, the best way to describe it, it comes across as very sarcastic. The humor, where it's stuff like even the very last scene of the of Snatch. When the police pull up and they're at the campsite and Tommy's chasing the dog around and the cop looks to Turkish and he goes, what's in the car? And he goes, four seats and a steering wheel.
Yeah, right.
Like, yes, you're a dick.
Yeah, four seats and a steering wheel.
Oh, you know, and so earlier when they're doing the sausage and the caravan discussion and Tommy Turkish notices the gun in Tommy's pants and he kind of opens his jacket and goes, what the fuck is that? And he goes, it's me belt Turkish.
Yeah.
No, the big hand cannon in your trousers.
Oh, it's so funny. Between that and the fact that it won't fire. Oh, God.
And it's also like it's one for me, it's one of the most quotable movies. Like we could sit here and just do all the quotes and it would be a, you know, a funny podcast. But it's really such and for basically, I don't want to say a language that we don't speak, but a version of the English language that we do not speak and we're not supposed to understand. I mean, we're not supposed to get Cockney. We're not supposed to get all that slang. And even to the point that it was one of the funnier trivia facts I found. Apparently, a lot of the American movie critics criticized Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels because they couldn't understand the slang and the accents, which is exactly why Guy Ritchie wrote the Brad Pitt character.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, really? You couldn't understand those? Here's someone that even the characters in the movie aren't going to understand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, some weird Irish gypsy.
Yeah. And again, it's beautifully described in Turkish's narration where he's like, it's not English. It's not Irish. It's just gypsy. Or it's just pikey.
Pikey, yeah. It's just, oh, man. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. This movie starts in, like, I want to say Israel, right?
Antwerp, yeah. What do I know about diamonds? Don't they come from Antwerp? Cut to Antwerp.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
The fact, like, Benicio del Toro in this movie, I completely forgot.
Antwerp is a city in Belgium. There you go.
Belgium. Yeah. So Frankie Four Fingers, he basically goes and knocks off a jeweler in Belgium.
Yep. Him and his boys are dressed up like Hasidic Jews.
Yeah. And then they rob this place and they get a huge ass diamond.
It also, I mean, it starts off with a bang. And it's one of those things. I don't know what the style is, what it's called. I'm sure it has a name, but I just call it like the fast British cutting where it's like you see it in definitely these Guy Ritchie action movies and then you see it again in a lot of the Edgar Wright movies where it's like the best way I can describe it for the Shaun of the Dead movie is when he's making a coffee. Like he's making a coffee, but even that looks action.
Yeah, it's the like cinematic boom, boom, boom. Action B-roll sequence.
The sound effects mixed with the fast cutting, mixed with the camera turning upside down. It's
the
just
super close-ups, the snap zooms. Yeah, the whole thing.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, yeah, that's our opening credits.
Yeah. And then we get, like, a television show intro where all of the characters are like, hey, this is who this person is. This is who this person is.
Well, like I said, it's like that there's so many characters in this and their names are all wildly absurd. So yeah. They give each one a nice little, you know, credit. It's like, oh, Turkish, Tommy, you know, Bricktop, Cousin Avi, Doug the Head, you know,
Bullet Tooth Tony.
Boris the Blade, also known as Boris the Bullet Dodger.
Yeah.
Why is he called the Bullet Dodger? Because he fucking dodges bullets, Avi. Yeah. Again, it's like, what do you think he's called that for?
He dodges bullets.
He doesn't actually dodge them. He just takes them really well.
Yeah.
Boris. Yes,
that's definitely it. you're looking at basically the plot of this is he ends up going to London to stop over for a few days to get an appraisal for the diamond.
Yeah, he's selling some to Doug the Head, and then he's also appraising the big one.
Right.
This was actually the scene that I noticed something new for the first time. When Benicio del Toro, Frankie Four Fingers, Jesus, gets to London and he's getting tailored for suits. I've seen this movie 47 times at least. I had never noticed that every time we cut back to Frankie, he's wearing a different suit.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's getting fitted for like 5 different suits in a matter of 10 seconds.
Yes.
And it's something that I've never noticed.
Notice it. It's so fast. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, basically the Russians have decided that they're going to screw him over and they're going to steal the big diamond back from him.
Of course.
And that's the plan. So they basically hire some bumbling idiots that own a pawn shop to do it.
Yep.
And it's like, look, there's this fight that's going to happen and you're just going to knock off this bookie.
Because Frankie Four Fingers has a gambling problem, so that's how Boris the Blade gets him to go to the bookies. So he sets up Saul and Vinny, the pawn shop owners, to go rob the bookies, but also get the briefcase that the guy with four fingers is carrying.
Yeah, because he's going to be carrying a briefcase. You can knock over the bookie, but I get the case. You get whatever money's there.
You'll get 10 grand and whatever the bookies have.
Right.
Turns out to be a bag of pennies and some hard times.
But that sets up the secondary plot of this movie, right? Because Turkish, played by
Jason Statham,
is a boxing promoter and
unlicensed boxing promoter.
Yeah, so he does bare knuckle boxing underground, and so he's got a fight coming up, and basically. He needs a new office is what he wants.
He's got some dog shit caravan and he wants a new office to set up his illegal boxing ring. And he wants Tommy and Gorgeous George, their boxer, to go to the campsite and buy them a caravan.
Yeah. And at this campsite, there's a bunch of gypsies headed up by Brad Pitt.
As you
and
his ma.
Yeah. And his ma. With all of his brothers that I would assume are the inspiration for the town sisters. Remember the sisters in the town? The fighter. Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, well, the fighter was a true story.
Yeah, right.
It might have gone the other way. I don't know. But I'm guessing this happens. I'm guessing, you know, Mrs. O'Neill didn't look like such a clean woman. Looks like she got around the campsites. She's had a few gypsies up in her.
It's so funny because there's so many people that are always around Brad Pitt the entire time.
Some of those kids looked a little incestuous.
Yeah, a little bit. So basically they end up buying the caravan, but getting screwed over because they're gypsies.
They're gypsies. Yeah.
And so they don't make it out of the campsite before the axles fall off.
Yep.
And then there's an argument that happens and basically it's Gorgeous George versus Brad Pitt.
Yeah. It was almost like, they came across the gypsies. That is, they all came across as if they were immediately insulted that Tommy brought backup. Like, he brought Gorgeous George as muscle, and immediately, like, Brad Pitt's mom is like, oh, come on inside, have a drink, and Tommy starts walking, and Gorgeous George stays with the car, and she's like, well, isn't the big fella coming? He's like, oh, no, he's minding the car. What do you think we are, thieves or thieves?
Yeah.
Like, no, ma'am, he just likes watching cars.
Yeah, oh, jeez. basically, you have a... Gorgeous George ends up fighting Mickey because, you know, that's how he's going to get the money back. Yeah. Because they're like, no, you bought this as is. Like,
you're going to fight me for your money back. Yeah.
Basically. And
we gave you a shitty caravan with a broken axle, but instead of giving you your money back, what the fuck do I want a caravan with no wheels for it? You're going to fight me for it.
Yeah, right. And so basically it turns out Mickey is like a bare knuckle boxing champion.
One punch machine gun Mickey.
Yeah, and just breaks his jaw.
The funniest part is the whole, like, so we get to the bare knuckle fight and Mickey's just kind of warming up. He's taking his jacket off, and every time he takes another layer of clothes off, including his hat, he gets walloped in the face. George is beating the shit out of him. Mickey's just consistently just talking shit. He's just like, oh, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. Take my shirt off. I'm going to stretch my arm. Smack. It's knocked down, right. Gets back up. And finally, he gets all of his clothes off.
Yes.
And he just turns around and boom, one punch, George is done. And Tommy is pissing himself.
Yeah, because he's got a fight, because Gorgeous George has a fight in a few days. And because he's got this fight with Boris.
Bricktop.
Bricktop.
Bricktop, the gangsta who feeds people to pigs.
Yeah.
We get there.
Yeah, he is the creepiest dude in the world.
Bricktop is an amazing character. I mean, this is a movie of amazing characters, and he is such a star in this.
Yeah, he's creepy because, like, you see the typical Italian mobster. They're sure. Big. They're imposing. They talk slow.
The English gangsta is not a common movie character.
No, and this guy is just like, yeah, I'm going to murder you, and then I'm going to feed you to pigs.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if I'm going to interrogate you, I'm going to do it with attack dogs.
Yeah,
that happens in this movie. I mean, there's some dark moments in this movie.
Yeah, they all have them in body bags where they're going to, like, dismember them or something.
Straight up.
I don't know what's happening there, and I still don't know. And I'm like,
I knew exactly what was happening. He basically explained it to him right before that happened, because they basically dextered the pawn shop with plastic all over it, and they had Tyrone, who we'll get to in a minute, because Tyrone is a goddamn genius, or he's awesome. But he explains it in that scene that, oh, you got to cut the body up into 6 pieces, pile it all up, shave the heads, pull the teeth, unless you want to dig through pig shit, and nobody wants to do that. And then you get about 16 pigs who can go through a 200-pound body in about 8 minutes, hence greedy as a pig. And I'm just like, and I love it because Vinny, the character in there, has no idea who this is. And he's like, oh, thanks for that. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, right.
He's like, oh, by the way, let me open this door. Here's your friend in a corner bag.
Yeah.
But we are jumping way ahead.
Yeah. So basically, you don't want to be on the bad side of this gangster, right? No. And Turkish now has to find a new boxer or, throw the fight because...
He needs to find a boxer to throw the fight.
Yeah, right. Because now, this is a bad dude.
It's an illegal boxing match where gambling is involved and gangsters are involved. So, okay, we're just going to switch the fighter. Well, that's why there's no money at the bookies, because they have to take bets there because you're switching fighters literally last minute.
Yeah, literally last minute. And so, basically, Bricktop...
All the Gorgeous George bets gone because he's out.
Yeah, so you have to say Bricktop. Bricktop tells Turkish, look, your guy's going to throw the fight in the fourth. And so, okay, cool. That's what's going to happen. Well, Mickey's a little bit of a loose cannon.
Mickey thought he meant throw a punch 4 seconds in.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, yes. That screws everything up, right? Yeah. Because now
Bricktop lost a shitload of money.
Yeah.
And you see him making his amends to the important people, because he obviously he's a shady dude. So he's got inside people and stuff, and he's walking out of the fight. And the guy's like, I just lost 40 grand. You told me this was a lock. And he's like, I'll make it up to you on the next one. Trust me, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Cuts a guy's balls and as he's walking out. He's a bad dude. Bad dude.
Yeah.
But again, the dialogue in this movie is amazing. And when that Weasley guy, who he obviously doesn't like, but obviously gave a tip to, he comes up to him. He's like, oh, well, thanks for the fucking tip. I just lost money. And he grabs him by the throat. He goes, if I throw a dog a bone, I don't want to know if it fucking tastes good.
Yeah. Like,
yes.
So good. Badass. So, so good. Yeah. So basically they're like, look, we're going to try this again.
Yep.
We're going to try this again. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you if
That's very implied, but we get to that point where they need Mickey to fight, and he does, he persuades him. But all the while, we're still trying to get, we're still trying to get the Diamondback on the other side story.
Yes.
Where we get Tyrone, the getaway driver.
Yes, Tyrone, the getaway driver, who's never driven before. Stolen car, has all kinds of rules with his car.
You've driven rally tracks, haven't you, Tyrone? Of course I have.
Well, it's also
he's a natural, ain't you, Tyrone? Of course I am. Of course I am was basically his lines.
Yeah, it's so funny because he backs up into the van that Frankie Four Fingers is in. And then they're like, what? You hit the van.
What are you doing?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Funny angle.
It came from a funny angle.
It's behind you. When you reverse, things come from behind you.
It's so funny. While that's happening, there's a dog, and the dog came with the gun? Yeah, it came from the gypsies.
Vinny and Saul run a pawn shop, so they go get their shitty pawn shop gold from the gypsies. And Vinny shows up to the pawn shop with the dog, and he's like, gypsies are always throwing dogs into the deals, and it's the same dog that they tried to pawn off on Tommy, because he was in Tommy's lap right before the axle broke.
Yes. They just have this dog, and the dog eats everything.
A funny little bit of trivia in the dog. The dog was, this was actually on the DVD commentary with Guy Ritchie. The dog was not agreeable. I mean, you can see in this scene, the dog is gnawing on the seat and attacking Lenny James. He was legitimately attacking Lenny James the whole movie. Lenny got bit in the crotch a bunch of times. Nothing serious, but the dog was a nightmare to work with.
Yeah, well, dogs and fucking kids. Nightmare.
Yeah,
dogs and kids and reflective surfaces, the three things you don't want to film.
Dogs. You like dogs? Oh, dogs. I like dogs.
The dog eats a squeak toy whole, and for the rest of the movie, they're just pressing on the side of it, and you can hear it squeak,
He's squeaking. Yes, it's very funny.
It's very, very funny. But they basically sit out in the... They sit outside in the car waiting for Frankie Four Fingers to... go into the pawn shop.
Who, thanks to Tyrone, is unconscious in the back of a van.
Right, behind them. So they end up seeing some random guy with a briefcase walk into the bookie. So they're like, it's go time. And they try to attack this bookie and rob them. And it's so funny because of all the stuff with Mickey and Turkish
because they're just fucking idiots.
Yeah, they get in there and there's no money at the bookie. And that's the wrong guy.
And it's the wrong guy. Yeah.
So,
but again, that brings up the amazing, like, it's very simple, but also amazing, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, they hop out of the car and it's like, it's an action movie. The music cue is perfect in it. And it's such an eclectic bunch of, I wouldn't even call them songs with the exception of the Madonna song.
Right.
But it's like, just weird, like a lot of it is like very like I don't know, Yiddish or Jewish music, where it's you would hear it at tempo and stuff.
Right.
I don't want to do it because it comes off as racist. But
sure.
But like that, and then like the heavy techno, obviously like London Underground type music and stuff. And something Guy Ritchie's early movies had bonkers fucking soundtracks. We talked about Rock and Roller on the radio show a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And the soundtrack to that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, I've said it before. I said it on that episode. Madonna ruined this fucking guy.
Yeah, she really did.
The best thing he did was get out of that relationship, because now he's back to form with the gentleman.
Yeah, right.
He was on a beach doing fucking Castaway with her, whatever the hell that movie was. Like, he directed that.
That's
after
right.
Snatch.
That's
he comes off of Snatch and directed the Madonna beach movie.
Yeah, that's right.
90 minutes of your wife fucking some long-haired Brazilian dude. I mean, he basically could have been called the movie cucked.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that's definitely true.
I mean, granted, he did the Downey Sherlock Holmes movies, which were decent enough.
Yeah, but that was after the fact.
But that's also a paycheck and a franchise type of thing. But, God, she Yoko'd the fuck out of him.
Yeah, she definitely did. So when they're on there trying to get out, because once they realize that there's no money and they've called the cops and the security walls are all up, they're trying
stuck
to
in
get
the
out.
Lobby.
They're stuck in the lobby. And it's so funny because they're trying to get out and they can't get out. And they, they're like, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be it. And then Hero Tyrone shows up and just pushes a door that they needed to pull.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't pull it because it was a security door. So they had to get buzzed out, or you could enter.
Yes.
You could enter, but you couldn't leave without getting buzzed out for some
reason. I thought it was just simple that they just were pulling a push door or pushing a pull door.
They did say the reason, that, and they tried to pull. There was a pull on there. It wasn't. They're not that much of idiots, but they are idiots. Because they still take their masks off in front of a security camera and kept using their real names constantly.
So Tyrone helps them get out. They get into the car. And then Tyrone sees Frankie Fourfingers just get out of the car, just knocks him out, throws him in the car, and they take off.
Who's this? It's a man with four fingers and a briefcase. Fuck, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So we get back to their pawn shop, and Benicio del Toro, for Frankie Fourfingers, has a tea cozy on his head, which it looks so stupid, but the tea cozy works really well for blindfolding because it happens throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get a... We get Boris, who hired them. He shows up to the pawn shop, has no idea why Frankie's here. And he's like, oh, well, the diamond's in the briefcase, and the briefcase is attached to his arm. And he's like, why didn't you cut it off?
Yeah.
These guys are not seasoned criminals. They literally go, because we're not butchers, Boris. And Boris is like, okay, cool. Puts his earplugs in, shoots Frankie. He's like,
right,
stop using my name.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Is just like he can't. Like now,
the dude carries a machete in his belt.
Yeah. Well, it's like he knew going into it. He's just like, you have the guy, and the one rule was is don't, like, you had to like leave him alive.
Right.
Because otherwise, they would know that like the Russians would.
Well, they didn't give a shit about Frankie. They just wanted the diamond. But they didn't know what was in the case. And they were pissed because their payment was supposed to come from robbing the bookies. And when the bookies had no fucking money except a bag of pennies, they're like, well, no. And we need to figure out what the hell is going on. Obviously, through the transition, they had talked to Frankie. They had opened up the case. They had found the diamond. And they're like, no, we want half of this.
Yeah.
And so they're basically trying to hold Boris up. Boris is not a man that's going to be held up. He's offering you 10 grand. Take the 10 grand and fuck right off.
Yeah, right. And that's not going to be.
He cuts his arm off and takes the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they go, all right, give me the diamond or give me the thing. It's just like, you just killed the man that knows how to open it.
Okay, fine. And this is definitely a movie of people looking for a big score and ending up with nothing because they got nothing out of it. They didn't even get the 10 grand.
Right, they got nothing. They got nothing.
They got a dog that makes squeaks.
Yeah, and so because Frankie's there, the dude in New York is getting paranoid.
Dennis Farina.
Yeah.
And the late, great Dennis Farina playing Cousin Avi.
Yeah, so Avi comes from New York to try and find this diamond.
Because Frankie's obviously selling it for him, because Dennis Farina, as it's set up, is definitely running some illegal shit in New York.
Right.
And Frankie works for him because he was on the phone in the suit fitting scene. He was on the phone with Avi explaining the size of the diamond and blah, blah, blah. And he's got to go see Doug the Head and their cousins, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And so he comes in and he basically hires Bullet Tooth Tony.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to find Frankie.
Yep.
That's basically what we got to do. And so Bullet Tooth Tony is a loose cannon, but so fun to watch.
Oh, he is wonderful. This, I mean, you want to talk about a character with zero fucks to give.
Yeah.
And mostly, I mean, Vinnie Jones is a legit bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the movie where Saul and Vinnie are sitting in their car. It's right after the replica gun scene in the bar.
Yes.
And they're sitting there, and he goes, they're explaining something, and he goes, oh, well, Bullet Tooth Tony, and he's supposed to be right outside the window.
Right. Well,
they needed to use Vinnie Jones's stunt double for that scene, even though it was a face-on shot of him, because Vinnie Jones was in jail that day for getting in a bar fight the night before.
That's so funny.
Like, this is a dude that lives it. I mean, he was a soccer hooligan, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He's just so great. That gun scene, the basically Saul and Vinny and Tyrone, they all have fake guns.
Replicas.
And it has replica written on the side, and they walk in because they're basically going to try and muscle out Bullet Tooth Tony. And he's
at that point, they get the diamond back because there's a whole thing with Boris, because Boris has the diamond. And then everyone's looking for the diamond at this point. They've kind of the movie has kind of put the boxing story on the back burner for a moment while we deal with the diamond thing. And we got Avi, we got Bullet Tooth Tony, we got a great scene with this character Mullet, who he puts his head into a window and drags him along with Madonna playing in the background. And and then they're all trying to get Boris. They finally do get Boris after Boris fucks them all up, because it's another one of those funny cut scenes, because they're sitting in Doug the Head's shop, right? And it's Doug, it's his twin daughters, it's Avi, Vinnie Jones, and this other burly dude called Rosebud. And Rosebud's like, and Boris shows up to sell the diamond to Doug the Head.
Yes.
And Rosebud's like, I got this. Smash cut to they are all fucked up.
Yes.
Boris beat the piss out. They were able to subdue Boris, put a tea cozy on his head, and put him in the trunk of the car, but they are all bloodied up.
they're all bloodied up. It's not great. Yeah, and then they get into that car accident and he just like runs off.
This was another one of those it's one of those scenes that they've done in many movies, and it's done so well here, where it's like you see the same scene from multiple different angles, and they just keep replaying it. So it's Turkish and Tommy driving in their truck, and Turkish is drinking chocolate milk, and Tommy is trying to explain evolution to him, which is another weird conversation.
Yeah.
And then you got Vinny, Saul, and the dog in another car, and then you have Avi, Bullet Tooth Tony, Rosebud, and Boris in the trunk. Yeah. And Turkish throws the chocolate milk, or Tommy throws Turkish's chocolate milk out the window. It
hits
Avi and Bullet Tooth Tony's car. They crash. Boris gets out of the trunk and is standing in the street, but he's got his hands tied behind his back and a tea cozy on his head. He can't see shit. And
runs off.
Vinny and Saul are arguing, and the dog bites them, and they lose control and drive straight into Boris.
Yes.
It is a goddamn calamity of a movie.
It is. It really is. And so they all end up in a bar, and basically Bullet Tooth Tony just starts shooting with a Desert Eagle.
Oh yeah.
Because Boris went back to get a shotgun from his house.
Yep.
And there's like a really weird interaction with Turkish and Tommy and Boris.
Well, they were going to Boris's house because Tommy was pissed that his gun didn't work, and he wanted to get a gun that works. He's like, fuck this, Russian. I'm going to get a gun that works. That's why they were going to Boris's house.
Yeah.
Boris, meanwhile, has been through some shit. He's done with it this day. He's getting his big bazooka, his Scarface Say Hello to My Little Friend gun. Yes. And he's coming out of the house, and Tommy's like, oh, excuse me. And he just knocks him in the balls and keeps on moving.
Yeah.
We get back to the bar. Tony having, as they say, a pint of the black stuff, which is Guinness.
Yeah,
so you keeping up with the slang, and fucking Vinny, Tyrone, and Saul show up with their goddamn replicas.
Yes, with their replicas.
Vinny Jones barely even looks up from his beer, and just destroys them verbally.
Yeah, yep. You, he just gives it to him.
You're a shrinking dick, and these are your two mincy balls, and they are shrinking along with you because you have replica written on the side of your gun, and I have Desert Eagle .50 on the side of mine. Now fuck off.
So funny. So goddamn funny. And so basically the pawn shop trio end up getting,
I think that's what we should call them instead of keep saying their names.
Yeah, the pawn shop trio ends up getting the diamond after Bullet Tooth Tony comes, you know, basically just starts shooting through walls.
Well, it all kind of convenes in a hallway in the back of the bar. So Avi has the diamond in a case.
Yes.
And the pawn shop boys, who are now running away from Tony, run into Avi in the hallway. Fuck this. That's the case we need. Let's still use these replicas. So they try to hold up Avi. Avi, who's had a day and a half because he's lost Rosebud. He's been beaten up. Literally just goes, fuck you. Shoot me. And these are guys who are just trying to rob someone with fake guns that don't work.
Yes.
And then obviously Boris comes in the back door.
He's got his rocket launcher.
Literally. And he goes to Avi, give me the case. And again, Avi's just like, fuck you, shoot me.
Yeah.
Tony's hearing all this, and he's got his hand cannon next to him. And he, obviously, this is a dive bar type of place, so the walls aren't that thick. And he's scoping it out. He's figuring out what's happening. Yells to Avi, pull up your socks, meaning get the fuck down. And just starts boom, 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 blasting. Tyrone, I think, gets hit. Boris definitely got hit a couple times. But then Tony enters the hallway. And Boris, still just talking shit with 15 bullets in him.
Yeah.
And Tony just keeps... He empties a clip into Boris, and Boris is still yelling, fuck you!
Yeah, right. Just he's like that guy in Austin Powers that just wouldn't die.
Exactly.
Like, that's just basically who he is.
It was Will Ferrell, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Will Ferrell.
I'm very burned, but I'm still much alive.
Oh, you shot me! You shot me right in the...
My leg is severely broken, and there's a bone coming out, but I'm still alive.
The wound smells like almonds. So that's yeah. But the
who ends up? So okay, there's a few on. I think the pawn shop boys end up with a diamond.
Yeah,
for the moment.
Right, and so
here's something that I've never gotten a definitive answer on. Does Boris die?
I don't know.
I mean, he takes a lot of bullets, but he's still talking shit the whole time.
Yeah,
I mean, Boris is the definition of bad motherfucker. So yeah. I don't think he dies.
I don't think so either.
I think there's a Netflix series with Boris that we need to spin off.
I think you're right. You might
the
be
Mad
right.
Russian.
The Mad Russian.
Or the Bullet Dodger.
So the pawn shop boys get back to the pawn shop, and they're going to hand off the diamond to, what's his name? The terrible gangster.
Bricktop.
Bricktop. They're going to hand it off to Bricktop.
Yeah, because Bricktop owned the bookies that they robbed.
Right, and so that's why he had that Dexter house, and they tortured Tyrone for a minute.
Yeah, they had the dogs eat him.
And so they were like, look, you got to like get us the money. And so basically they got to hand over the diamond so that they don't get murdered.
Right. But that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, that doesn't happen either. And so Bricktop shows up and they're going to have the Bricktop shows up. And this might be a little bit later because
the explaining of how to dispose of a body happened when Frankie was still the body. And they had captured Tyrone. At this point,
Bricktop's definitely convinced Mickey to fight by murdering his mom.
Oh yeah, he straight up burns his mom alive.
Yeah.
They attack Turkish in their arcade.
Yep.
Basically, Bricktop's had enough of all these fucking people. It's like, look, fuck Turkish and Tommy. Which I, by the way. Bricktop and Tommy's little shitty relationship is one of my favorite things. Because the first time Tommy... Because it's always Turkish and Tommy talking to Bricktop. And the first time Tommy speaks to him, Bricktop just kind of wide-eyed surprised at him and goes, my God, your girlfriend speaks Turkish.
Yeah.
And he just kept calling him a woman the whole time. Put a leash on her, Turkish, she's going to get bit.
Yeah.
It's so just funny. His demeaning way he talked to Tommy... always has me in stitches.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But yeah, so Avi and Bullet Tooth Tony show up at the pawn shop, and they're trying to get the diamond.
That's it.
And
they don't know what has happened to the diamond because the dog has destroyed the... Okay,
yeah, and the dog fucked up the office.
Yeah.
They try to tell Avi that the dog must have ate the diamond because they all show up at the same time.
Right. And Avi just takes a gun and starts shooting.
Well, he tells Tony, he's like, open the dog up.
Yeah.
And open him up. And yeah, we got another great line. He's like, well, he's not a fucking can of baked beans. What do you mean, open him up?
Like, yeah, right.
Open him up. And so, and one that me and my buddy Will quote this line all the time. It's when they first tell Avi that the dog ate the diamond. And he throws his head back and goes, I'm getting heartburn. Tony, do something awful. All the time. We'll be sitting at a bar or something and just like, it's like, Will, I'm getting heartburn. Do something awful.
Yeah.
It's like, so. It's so the writing is so good in this movie.
Yeah, and so Avi ends up taking Tony and just starts shooting. He ends up accidentally murdering Tony in the process,
and the dog escapes. Eats a diamond.
Yes,
because Vinny had it in his pants. But when they're trying to when they're trying to cut the dog's squeaking. They don't understand why the dog's squeaking. All hell's breaking loose. Vinny basically pulls the diamond out of his crotch and is like, "No! Don't kill my dog. Here's the diamond."
It is.
The dog actually eats the diamond,
and then
when Avi starts popping off, accidentally kills Tony, and he's like, "Fuck!"
Yeah, that's and so he just goes back to New York. And the funniest thing is when he gets through customs, "Do you have anything to declare?" And he just goes, "Don't go to England."
Yep, exactly. So we're getting close to the wrap up because the dog, which we have established throughout this movie, the dog just keeps going home. Yeah, the pikey dog keeps going back to the campsite. So after the fight, we realize that Mickey, after of course his mom died, set it up with the rest of the pikeys.
Bricktop told him he was going to be like he was going to murder them if they didn't do the fight, and Mickey is beside himself, and so he goes all the way through the fourth round. And then knocks the guy out,
yeah. And then we realize it was all an elaborate plan and that Mickey and the rest of the pikeys have ambushed Bricktop and all his guys.
Yeah, they just, yes.
So all the baddies are dead.
Yeah, they're
Mickey
all.
Mickey gets into a car and takes off, leaves Turkish and Tommy behind at the fight. And so they're like, all right, well, we have to at least settle up with Mickey. So they go back to the campsite. God, it's ghost town time.
Yeah.
And this is when the police show up because, of course, there's been murders and a woman was burned alive. I mean, shit has gone down. It's been a weekend. And the dog shows up. That was, again, the dog that Tommy originally had in his lap. So Turk's just like, go get the dog, Tommy. Because the cop there is like, what are you guys doing here? And he's like, he's walking the dog. Go get the dog. So Tommy goes off, and that's where we get the seats and a steering wheel line, which I don't know. It's simple, but I love it.
Right.
And end the way we started with a silhouetted shot of Turkus talking to someone.
Right.
And they, in his narration, he explains that after they need to stop the dog from squeaking. So they had to tame the vet. And the vet cut him open, and they found an undigested squeaky toy, a half a shoe, and an 86-carat diamond.
Yeah.
So, of course, you flip the camera around. They're talking to Doug the Head.
Yes.
Turkish goes, you know anybody that'd be interested? He picks up the phone, and we end with Avi flying back to London.
To get his diamond.
And all is right with the world. It's a Christmas miracle.
It is. It was a Christmas miracle. And that is Snatch.
I love Snatch. One of the most rewatchable movies I know of. It is.
You know, it's crazy because for some odd reason, I always remembered the dog being a bulldog.
What is it? Like a pit bull?
Yeah, I just remember it being a bulldog for some reason.
Either way, according to Guy Ritchie, the dog was an asshole. So there's The dog was an asshole. I believe the dog's name was Bow. B-O-W. Bow the dog.
Bow.
Bunch of actors in the movie.
Yeah.
Another fun fact. So that scene where they're robbing the bookies and Lenny James has the big fucking hand cannon shotgun.
Yeah.
And he shoots it. And it appears that he knocked himself in the balls and is doubled over in pain. It's because Lenny James, the actor, didn't really know how to use the gun and actually knocked himself in the balls. And that was the take they used.
That is so funny.
So he was getting bit by dogs. He knocked himself in the balls with a shotgun. Lenny James was just waiting for The Walking Dead to start so he could get off this fucking movie.
Yeah, he definitely was. He absolutely was.
But I can't recommend this movie enough. This is, if you don't own it, go and buy it. Like I said, it's available for free streaming, apparently on CBS Access, but also for free on Crackle and IMDb TV. Because, again, that's a thing. IMDb TV. Buy it, man. I know you can get Blu-rays of it for like $5. Go and buy this amazing movie that's celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Go out and see The Gentlemen. It's Guy Ritchie's return to form in this style of film. I think it's fantastic. It's in theaters. It's an A-plus movie for me, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. I personally prefer Rock and Roll Up more. But this is, you know, this is
it's a lesser known sister of Snatch.
It is. So it's, yeah, I think it's in the filmography, it's like two or three times more than this. But yeah, there is, or like his second or third movie after this.
Right.
But that's another really, really fun, strong movie.
That's Gerard Butler, right?
Yeah. Gerard Butler. And then what's his name? Tom Hardy.
Yes.
As Handsome Bob.
Handsome Bob.
love the names. And for the life of me, I can't remember what ends up happening, but the there's like a tease that I don't think he's ever done where it's just like so-and-so will return in like the next one. And it, so it's like, yeah, becoming a real rock and roller or something. He like teases a sequel and then just we never got one.
Then he married Madonna.
Then he married Madonna and we didn't get it.
God damn Madonna. If history has taught us anything, it's that her movies are bad.
Yeah, they're garbage movies.
9 out of 10 movies are bad. And if they star Madonna, oof, you can make an argument for Evita, but I wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, God. Evita annoys me just because it's that sing talk the entire time.
The whole time. The whole friggin'. That was the movie that, because it was up for all the awards that year.
Right.
And it was the movie that year that everyone who saw it, or even if they didn't see it, was like, oh, you have to see Evita. Like, it's because it's like, I don't know, it's a true story and a musical, but it's
right.
Like, all right, you hired Madonna to sing. At the very least, I hope she could do that.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's two things Madonna can do in movies, sing and fuck. I mean, that's not a hard stretch for her.
Yeah, right, of course.
Coming up next week on that movie show with I'm gonna get the full title for a second here, the Harlequin movie,
Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of the Harley Quinn.
You are close.
I know. I'm close.
Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of the One Harley Quinn.
Yeah, okay,
that's hitting theaters, so we're doing Suicide Squad. Do you own Suicide Squad?
I think I do, somewhere. Okay, here,
because we're gonna have to connect on text and figure out if you're watching the theatrical or the extended cut.
Oh,
just to compare.
Here's the thing. I've seen this movie so many times.
Really? Because I've seen it once, and that was way too many times for me.
Oh, I think because, you know, between...
You're a DC guy, though.
Well, no, I'm a Marvel guy through and through, but I...
Are you?
Yeah, but I had Movie Pass and Stubbs A-List, and...
Oh, you saw it in theaters so many times.
Yeah, between Movie Pass, Stubbs A-List, Showcase, Subscribe, between all of those...
See, I went out on Black Friday to Target to get Ice, and it was there for $2, so I picked up the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. So
So that's how I watched it.
Yeah, no. I was bored several times and went to the theaters.
Fair enough. Nothing came out that year, huh? All right, so Suicide Squad is coming up next week on the show, followed by our Oscars show, where we're going to be doing some cool stuff. Not only are we going to be running down predictions of the main categories, but also looking back at the last 10 years of Best Picture nominees and giving you our opinion on the most rewatchable Best Picture nominees in the last 10 years. And then we got one more before our 100th episode, which is going to be Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
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 Did you watch Jojo Rabbit yet?
I have watched Jojo Rabbit. You want to do that for 99?
Maybe we should do that for 99.
Fuck yeah. We just made a schedule, bitch.
Yeah. Live
right here for you. You're welcome. This is how we figure shit out. And now we're just doing it with microphones turned on.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us here on that movie show. It's a process. It is a process. Usually this is done by text message. Thanks for joining us on that movie show for Snatch. And please follow us on all forms of social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag that movie show. Let us know if you want us to review something, because as you just heard, we don't plan shit that far in advance. So if you want us to review something, please suggest it. We'll probably get to it. And of course, the audio podcast, you can find thatmovieshow.net, where you not only get these reviews, but also our Saturday morning radio show every single week. Go to facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv to get the videos and the bullshit and all the other stuff. And, you know, tell your friends, join the club.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody.